Can't sleep? Don't want to sleep? Afraid to sleep? Are the windows closed? Are your doors locked? Did you check your closet? And under your bed? Maybe you should keep a light on in the hallway, just in case. Now settle in. Make yourself comfortable. Lay back, close your eyes, and let me tell you a story. If you're a veterinarian long enough, you've seen it all. The odd assortment of things dogs swallow. Giant overweight cats. Owners who disregard your professional advice and feed their pets things they shouldn't. But Dr. At is faced with something he's never encountered before. An owner who claims her cat is possessed. The question is checking it out worth skipping lunch? Possessed by James Hosek. I have one rule. No phone calls on my days off, which are Wednesday and Sunday. Wednesday is the day that doctors take off to go golfing. As a veterinarian, I believe I am entitled to that benefit. After all, what is a doctor but a veterinarian who specializes in only one species? So, I golf. Well, in the spring, summer, and fall, I golf. In the winter, I think about golfing. And Sunday is Sunday. I sleep in, have lunch with my sister and her family, watch some golf on television, rent a Redbox movie in the evening. And I also don't do appointments before 3 on my surgery day, which is Tuesday. So, 2 rules. No phone calls on my days off, and a long lunch on Tuesdays, my surgery schedule permitting. Oh, and no emergency calls before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. That's when the emergency practice at the specialty center is open. Okay, 3 rules. Wednesday, no calls. Tuesday, long lunches. Every day, no after or before hours emergencies. Other than that, anything goes. Well, except I won't see monkeys. Monkeys can be pretty dangerous. And I'm pretty sure that they are illegal to have as pets in Chicago anyway. Or wildlife. No raccoons, opossums, hawks, or squirrels. Sheila, my remote receptionist, knows these rules. I've drilled them into her. I've written them down and emailed them to her. I have told her there will be consequences if said rules are broken. Dire consequences. Consequences beyond the imagination of mere mortals who dare to play God with my schedule. Yet, here it was Tuesday. I had just finished my last dental cleaning. A chihuahua named Monty Williamson, who ended up having 8 extractions. Not a record, but a lot. It was 12:30, which meant I would get 2.5 hours for lunch. Margaret, the receptionist at the veterinary specialty center, paged me over the intercom. Paged is a nice way to put it.
At 1,
said the terse, agitated voice. I'm Dr. At. Line 1 was a call for me. Margaret was not a fan of mine. Even though I paid for the space and use of equipment, she didn't believe her services were included. That can't be Sheila, said Allie. Allie was the vet tech who helped me with my surgeries. She was great at getting catheters in tiny cat veins, prepping the patients for their procedures, and taking care of them when they woke up. Her regular job was as a tech for the emergency practice that used the building at night. I paid her handsomely for staying up a bit longer. Bringing in a Dr. Pepper double gulp from 7-Eleven was a non-negotiable prerequisite for her staying at all. She also had, shall we say, a free spirit. Every month her hairstyle and color changed. This month, it was a bright green mohawk. Who else would know I'm here? I asked. But it's lunch on Tuesday, she said. When I had long lunches on Tuesdays, I always took Allie along. Doesn't she know that you are not supposed to be disturbed until 3 on Tuesdays? It is written in stone, I said. I picked up the phone and punched the blinking line. Dr. Att speaking, I said.
Hi, Eddie,
said Sheila's friendly voice.
What you doing?
Getting ready for lunch? It was more of a question than a statement of fact.
Yeah, no,
she said. What do you mean, yeah, no?
Well, you know how you keep telling me that you've seen it all?
With regards to cats and dogs and their medical problems, yes, I answered.
I think I have a new one for you.
Worth me missing my nice long lunch? I asked. With Allie? Yeah, said Allie, loud enough to be heard from across the room.
Hi, Allie,
said Sheila. Sheila says hi, I told Allie. Tell her I say hi back, said Allie. She says hi, I reported. What does she want? Asked Allie. What do you want? I asked.
Mrs. Douglas called a few minutes ago.
Uh-huh, I prompted.
She said her cat Nibbles is possessed.
I stood silently, wanting to make sure I heard Sheila correctly. What did she say? Asked Allie.
Eddie, you there?
Asked Sheila over the phone. She actually said that Nibbles is possessed? I asked. Cool, said Allie.
Yes,
answered Sheila. Who's Nibbles? Asked Allie. I kept my attention on Sheila's side of the conversation. Like by a demon? I asked.
The devil himself, according to her.
So why aren't you calling a priest? I've got lunch as soon as Monty is awake.
Well, because I doubt that the cat is really possessed. And if it isn't, he might be in some severe pain or having a seizure or something.
She had a point. It can't wait, huh?
I think this supersedes the rules, Addie.
I sighed audibly. It was a dangerous precedent.
It will take you less than an hour. You will still have time for lunch,
she added. I sighed again.
Plus, it sounds really cool. Something new.
What if he really is possessed? I asked.
Really?
She said, disappointed that that was the best I could come up with to try to get out of the call. All right, but if this cat is not twisting its head around and climbing the ceiling, I'm going to be downright put out, I said.
I'll tell her you are coming.
You probably already did. Her silence told me I was right. On my way, I said.
You're the best,
she said before hanging up. So no El Famous Burrito today? Asked Allie. If I can deal with the possessed cat quickly, maybe we'll have time. You want to come with? Monty was settled comfortably in her arms, his head lolling around like one of those bobblehead dolls. I should probably stay here until Monty is up and moving, she said. Yeah, I'll hurry, but I never can tell what is going to happen with Mrs. Douglas. She took a long swig from the double gulp, emptying the last dregs from the bottom with a loud slurping sound. What's wrong with Mrs. Douglas? Well, she's in her 70s. Legally blind, and I'm pretty sure her sense of smell is shot. Her place smells like a mixture of litter boxes, cigarettes, and old lady. Ew, cat lady? She asked. Only 5, I answered. Allie and I had both agreed that cat lady status was reserved for those who were in the double digits. And of course she lets them go outside, said Allie. She knew I had a pet peeve about people letting their cats roam outside. Yep. Well, enjoy the exorcism. I crossed myself, and she chuckled. I had my eye on the dashboard clock the whole way to Mrs. Douglas's. It took about 15 minutes in the lunchtime traffic. Not too bad. Mrs. Douglas also took it upon herself to feed the outdoor cats in the neighborhood. There were usually about 4 or 5 bowls of dry food out. I wondered if she ended up feeding more raccoons and squirrels than cats. Cats were good at catching mice and small rats, but they usually didn't tackle raccoons or opossums, both of which were seen often on the north side of the city. I grabbed my usual house call gear, my medical bag, my computer bag, and my baby scale. That should pretty much cover everything. If Nibbles was in really bad shape, I could use one of Mrs. Douglas's carriers to transport him to the specialty clinic and have Allie help me work him up. I wasn't even to the front door when the strong, musky odor of skunk hit me. Maybe Nibbles had gotten sprayed, and that was what was driving him crazy. That stuff would make their eyes sting, and, of course, cats would try to groom themselves to get rid of the skunk juice, and that couldn't taste good at all. It would certainly put me in a bad mood. I rang the bell and heard the chimes toll inside. A feral cat jumped from a hiding place behind one of the porch chairs. I looked at it. It looked at me, then slithered off the porch into some evergreens. It looked just like Nibbles, black hair with white on the face and legs. "Nibbles?" I called. Could he have gotten out? That would be fantastic. There was no way I was going to chase after him under the bushes. I peered into the house through the little windows beside the door. No sign of my client. I rang the bell again and gave the door a good knock as well, hurting my knuckles. Could she have gone out for some reason? I rang and bruised my knuckles once more. Maybe she was dead. The demon-possessed Nibbles had killed her, stolen her soul, and left via the front porch to sneak back into hell. I pulled out my phone and called Sheila. I didn't have Mrs. Douglas's number on my phone. I could look it up on my computer, but this was much easier. Sheila Directory Assistance.
"Hi, Eddie. How's it going?"
"She's not home," I said. Sheila gasped.
"You don't think her possessed cat killed her and stole her soul, do you?"
She knew me too well. "The cat is not possessed," I said.
"Did you call her?"
asked Sheila. "Would you mind? I'm standing on her porch, trying not to absorb too much of the skunk odor from the yard."
"You are so helpless, Addiat."
"I am at your mercy," I said.
"You wish,"
she added. She was right about that. Despite all my subtle and not-so-subtle invitations, flirtations, and innuendos, we still had yet to meet in person. Yet I trusted her with my practice, and couldn't imagine a day without hearing the sound of her voice, whoever it was attached to. I waited a moment.
"She's in the backyard,"
said Sheila. "Well, is she going to let me in?"
"Yes, she is on her way."
Why was she in the backyard?
"She couldn't take the wailing of the demon in Nibbles."
Is that what she really said? Or are you just making that up?
"I'm paraphrasing."
"I don't hear any demons," I said.
"Because you're outside."
Touché.
"I can't wait to hear all about this,"
she said. "You bring the wine and I'll tell you over dinner," I suggested.
"Darn, I'm washing my hair tonight."
"Do women still use that excuse?" I asked.
"Apparently,"
she said.
"Bye, Eddie. Glad I could help."
She hung up. Now she had me picturing her washing her hair. If not in this cat, the devil was in that woman. The front door opened. I was still holding my phone next to my ear, my mind trapped in the image Sheila had left to me. I snapped out of it and saw Mrs. Douglas standing in the doorway. Her thick eyeglasses made her eyeballs look like a comic book character's. My phone disappeared into my jacket pocket. "Dr. At?" she asked, her vision not clear enough for a positive ID. "It's me," I said. "Oh, Dr. At, thank you for coming. I've never had anything like this happen with any of my cats before. I thought I saw Nibbles on the porch a minute ago. Did he get out already? Dear me, no. I put him in the bathroom, and you can still hear the ungodly sounds he is making. You must have seen one of the outside cats, she said. The smell of skunk was stronger inside the house than out. Could Nibbles have gotten sprayed by a skunk? I asked. Dear me, do you think so? Well, it certainly smells like skunk, I said. Really? Yeah, I said, almost choking out the word. Dear me, would that make him act so strange? She asked. Sure, I said. If it got in his eyes or nose or mouth, he would be very upset. What do we do? Well, I'll check him out. See if there's any irritation I can help with. Maybe flush his eyes and mouth. But you may have to take him to a groomer and have them clean him up. Possibly shave him. That scent can get into their hair and linger for weeks. Dear me, she said. Then you don't think he is possessed? Just very angry, I said. You really don't smell skunk, I asked. Smell and eyesight are shot, Dr. Ant. But my hearing is doing fine. Both ears are 20/20. What? I asked. My hearing is Oh, Dr. Ant, you are trying to be funny, aren't you? Trying, I agreed. As we got closer to the bathroom, I could hear the noise. It actually did sound like a possessed cat. It was a continuous, low growl and had a strange human quality to it, like a dentist was drilling someone's tooth without Novocaine. There was also some scratching at the base of the door. Now I understand why you think he is possessed, Mrs. Douglas, I said. He doesn't sound like himself at all. There was some more scratching. If I get a chance, I'll trim his nails, too, I said. Oh, could you? They do sound long. So what happened? When did he start acting like this? It couldn't have been more than half an hour before I called you, Dr. Ant. I was refilling some of the food bowls on the front porch. You know, the ones I keep for the outies. Yes, I said. Well, Nibbles was at one of the bowls. I told him his food was inside and to leave this for the outside cats. I opened the door and told him to come right in. Well, he started making that sound. At first I thought he was going to be sick, like a hairball. You know how they get, she said. I did. I am a cat owner and have heard the plaintive moaning that often precedes the expulsion of a hairball, usually in a place designed to maximize stepping in it with bare feet. But it was much worse. I went to pick him up, and he growled even more, the little devil. Cheeky kitty, I said. Exactly. I know I'm not supposed to do this, and it was only because I didn't want him to get away. But I grabbed him by his tail and brought him inside. I bet he didn't like that. Not one bit. But that sound. I put him in the bathroom, closed the door, and called Sheila. Sounds like a harrowing tale, Mrs. Douglas. My pun flew over her head. I knew there had to be something terribly wrong, she said. If he's that annoyed, I probably will need to sedate him. Whatever you need to do, Dr. Ant. I set my gear down and opened my medical bag. I loaded up a syringe with ketamine to knock him out. Is there a towel in there I can throw over him? I asked. Hanging on the back of the door, answered Mrs. Douglas. Terrific. For cats that really didn't want to have anything to do with me, I found if I could cover them, it would temporarily freeze them. I could then pin them to the floor by their shoulders and even give any shots right through the towel. I planned on doing that with Nibbles. Cover, pin, and shoot. Then 5 minutes for the drugs to work, and I could check him out. Okay, I'm going in, I said. Dear me, said Mrs. Douglas. Be careful. The demonic moaning still sounded from the bathroom. I kicked at the bottom of the door. "Coming in, Nibbles. Don't try to get out," I told him. I heard some scrabbling on the tile floor. It sounded like he was headed for behind the toilet. That was not a fun spot. It was hard to get the towel over them and pin them in that location. I suspected that cats knew this. It was in their genetically hardwired handbook on how to foil your local vet. I cracked the door. The skunk smell was definitely much worse. No fuzzy head tried to poke its way out. I reached behind the door and felt the towel. It was a nice large bath size. Perfect. I pulled it free from the towel holder and opened the door wider to let myself in. I squeezed through the opening and quickly slammed the door shut behind me. I heard the deep, guttural, demonic wailing begin again, this time from behind the toilet. "Curse you, kitty." I could see a little of his fluffy tail sticking out. I looked at where I was standing. The floor was covered in tiny splinters of wood. The bottom of the door was shredded. I had seen dogs destroy doors and woodwork before, but never a cat. Their specialty was upholstery and curtains. I held the towel out with one hand and uncapped the syringe with my teeth, so it was ready to go. I inched forward towards the toilet. I stopped when I finally was able to see Nibbles, only it wasn't Nibbles. I don't know how long I was frozen. I do remember backing up slowly as the growling and moaning grew angrier and louder. I reached behind me for the doorknob. The towel had become my shield. The cap to the syringe had fallen out of my mouth at some point.
"Is everything all right in there, Dr. Att?"
asked Mrs. Douglas's worried voice.
"Coming out," I said,
my voice cracking as I tried to hide my panic. I found the doorknob and twisted it, then swung the door towards me. I slipped through the opening, threw the towel into the bathroom, and slammed the door shut. I leaned against it. My breathing was heavy and fast.
"What is it, Dr. Att?"
I took a few seconds to catch my breath. "Nibbles definitely isn't possessed," I told her.
"You know what's wrong?"
"Nibbles is outside, hiding under your bushes."
"What?"
"You caught a skunk, Mrs. Douglas."
"Dear me," she said.
"That would explain it, wouldn't it?"
I was going to have to reiterate those rules to Sheila once again. Nothing good comes when people ignore the rules. Thank you for listening to Possessed, written by James Hosick. Narrated especially for the Bedtime Stories for Insomniacs fiction podcast by Rich Hosick. As always, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review, and share this podcast with anyone who enjoys audio fiction. You can listen to Jim's full-length novel, A Really Good Day, here on the podcast. And if you want more Dr. Att mysteries, sign up for his mailing list at jameshosick.com. The first book in the series, Three Blind Mice, will be available later this year. Thanks for listening, and all the very best.